You are listening to Nutrition Secrets by Ryan Fernando, only on Red Podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Nutrition Secrets with Ryan. Ryan, last two episodes we discussed what are the kinds of fasting and what effect they have. Now the question is, what is it that one must do to break a fast?
Good question. Okay, so there's the hangry part when you break the fast because you're kind of low on sugar, you've not eaten. And most people who are not used to fasting will develop the craving to go straight for highly fatty foods or highly sugary foods. In fact, research has shown people who are extremely stressed will choose higher sugar and higher fat foods. It's got to do with the taste bud linking to the pleasure center of the brain. And the satiety factor then kicks in with pleasure, and then you go towards those foods which are extremely sinful. So what you should not do when breaking a fast is go for oily foods or go for fried foods or go for highly sugary foods like pastries, sweets, cakes, etc. What you should be doing during your fasting is a lot of electrolytes with water. Specifically, I love to encourage people to do alkaline mineral water. The RO water doesn't help in a fast because you've already sucked out most of the minerals. So if you live in rural areas, you know, make the most of filtering water through the porcelain earthen filters, boiling your water. And if you're living in cities like you and me, Priya, then I prefer picking up mineral water, which is spring bottled. I know the plastic is there in it, but it's better than having RO water, which is stripped of all the essential micronutrients in it.
I think you can just put a pinch of salt, pink salt in that, and gets all the nutrients back. Is that correct?
Absolutely. But again, we do not know whether the pink salt from where it is sourced has all the micronutrients in it. But yes, that's an alternative to work with. My first meal breaking the fast will always have some amount of fiber, but definitely a good quantity of protein, at least 20 grams of protein. Because when you've gone into fasted state, the body is going to begin to cannibalize or eat up your muscle. So right. People who have done a lot of intermittent fasting have actually lost muscle when they have not done it under guided advice, because the meal that they eat after that has not been guided. So they assume that they can eat their normal khana, dal chawal roti, ya uta sapad, and maybe it's not carefully balanced at that moment. So I'm huge on the protein when breaking the fast with some amount of fiber, because most people think that they'll do a protein shake and then the next day they get constipated. Because right. You've been fasting, there's no food, so there's no traffic of the stool going through your gut and having to come out. Right. So suddenly just imagine, you know, it's like after Sunday, if you've seen on Monday, there's the highest traffic jam because right. Suddenly all the cars come onto the road on Monday because everyone's been away on holidays and coming back into the city. The same with you've been on a fast. So there's no traffic in your gut, and then suddenly you start eating. So now if you start eating with a heavy load of protein minus fiber, you get constipated. So that would be my go-to. I always break the fast with coconut water because of soluble fiber, and a bowl of cucumber because it readies the stomach for a good protein meal.
So you're saying that when you eat the cucumber or any of these food in small quantity, the juices in the digestive system in the stomach start activating. Is that what you're aiming at?
We are aiming for that because the body has protective mechanisms when you go into famine mode or fasting mode. So the body tends to go into cleanup. So a lot of the metabolic processes slow down. Your sugar drops, your insulin gets more sensitive, but parallelly your adrenals also come down, your blood pressure also comes down, your resting heart rate also comes down. So to activate the systems, breath is a perfect way to break the fast. Deep breathing. So it's five in, you hold for five, and then you exhale for five. If you're not accustomed to do five inhales, you do three, 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 which is three inhale, three hold, three exhale. And if you do about 20 of these, it begins to tell your body you're getting ready to activate your blood circulation, to activate your heart rate, to activate your adrenals. So I think that's something that we have forgotten how to do. We don't breathe. We don't pray over our food. The other thing is I would never ever break my fast with outside food. Outside food is created with the most tasty ingredients but no nutritive value, with the most tasty ingredients but the highest palm oil which clogs your heart, with the most tasty feel but that chef who's preparing it had a fight with the Malik of the hotel and he's put all gali and curses into the dish that is coming to you, which is the quantum energy signature pattern of the food. And that healing doesn't come to you. So I think when you break your fast, do a nice fruit or vegetable, peel it on your own, give thanks, bite into that, let your digestive system start, and then start a big meal. When you break your fast, there are a lot of things that people do which they should not do, which is don't forget to hydrate during the fast. So a lot of people say, I do a dry fast. I'm not a huge proponent for dry fast, though research shows that people who do dry fast release a lot of heat proteins, stress proteins, which cause the body to secrete more growth hormone. I think you should do dry fast when you become a veteran of intermittent fasting with water. So you know how to control your body, you know how to control your emotions. And I think in today's day and age, when we fast, in the olden days, we sat under a tree and fasted. We didn't do work. We didn't run from city to city. We didn't do podcasts and stuff like that, where your brain is constantly working. So I think to get into dry fast without water, you have to be in that meditative state, I'm doing nothing state. Don't forget your electrolytes when you're fasting. A pinch of salt, as you suggested, Priya, is astutely very, very correct. I love doing a little bit of soda water with a pinch of electrolytes because the soda tends to calm my acidity. Oh, speaking of acidity, people who get acidic during a fast, I recommend don't do fasting very aggressively till you heal your acidity. And by the way, we have successfully reversed acidity in the Quant Nutrition clinics by changing the way people we eat and giving the right micronutrients and proteins to heal the gut lining. Don't skip your protein intake during fasting. People tend to do especially vegetarians. After fasting, they say, I'll take a light meal after that, which is more like a detox meal. They tend to lose muscle. So a lot of my vegetarians during intermittent fasting lose muscle. The non-vegetarians don't. And the result is the next meal that they come in, they're hungry, they eat a lot of food, it's more carbohydrate. So the carbohydrates is higher sugar, which goes and stores as fat. So fat percentage goes up, muscle percentage goes down. So this could be another reason that I'm very gung-ho for boosting protein post-fasting for vegetarians. Another tip that doctors say to me, Ryan, the person's doing intermittent fasting, but they're having problems. What are the problems that turn up in a blood test? Your serum albumin globulin level, blood urea nitrogen, your urea levels tend to go up. Your kidney profiles go haywire. Your liver enzymes begin. Normally, liver enzymes go really well, but there are those one-off cases where the body says, I don't like this. So when you have drop in iron levels, drop in ferritin levels, drop in blood sugar levels. Now, drop in blood sugar levels is good, but if it drops below 80, then that's dangerous. So we want to be looking at not underfeeding ourselves post-fasting. Also, what you're putting into your body should have some rationale. So don't say, oh, I fasted for 30 hours now. I can go out and binge at a local fast food joint. And that's the most unhealthy food that you can put into your body. You know, it's like saying, Priya, you go to a hospital and they clean up the operation theater room and everything. And suddenly you let a unhygienic worker go in with all the kachara and garbage into that hospital room.
Oh my
that's
God.
Equivalent. That's equivalent of eating wrong after a fasting.
So Ryan, I have also noticed this has happened with me, and when you have been in a fastest state for very long, when it's time to break the fast, you don't feel like eating. You're like, you don't want to eat. Once you've broken the fast, you just don't want to eat. And when you eat, you're just barely able to have a little bit, and then you're like, oh shit, I need to have more. It's like that. Why does that happen?
So basically what happens is human survival has created us to have the ability to fast for periods of 30 to 60 days. Please understand, in ancient winters, you would not have enough of food to last an entire winter. So people actually went through what is called as famine. So there are self-defense mechanisms where your digestive system goes into hibernation mode.
Okay.
And in some people, it goes into shutdown mode. In hibernate, you press the button, it immediately reboots the computer. But in shutdown mode, it takes 2 minutes for it to reboot. So what I'm saying to you is that certain people need to break their fast with lighter foods like coconut water or cucumber or what I call as organic vegetable matter,
right?
Not processed foods, because you need the digestive enzymes to start coming out. And I always say for people who don't feel like eating to have a black tea with ginger about half an hour to 1 hour before they decide to break their fast. The ginger tends to activate the digestive enzymes.
Okay.
Also start off with a soup, because you do not want to do the physical act of mastication, which is chewing. So when you put in a soup, it's much more lighter. You don't feel overwhelmed. And if your body is saying, oh my God, I don't feel like eating, it's a clear-cut sign that you're destined and designed for fasting.
Oh.
That you can survive on lower levels. So now the challenge is, how do you eat nutritiously?
Right.
Rather than you eat for your taste buds, which is only for taste and pleasure, but no nutrition.
Right.
So these are the small things that, you know, that will plague people doing fasting. But to summarize, fasting has never killed anyone. And we're talking about 1 day fasting, 2 day fasting, 3 day fasting. We're not talking about fasting, which is unto death. And you're doing a hartal or a revolutionary fast. No, not from that. Nelson Mandela fasted in jail and he came out and became the president of South Africa. And he lived into his 90s. So if there's any proof in terms of fasting working, Mahatma Gandhiji fasted. He also lived very, very well and very healthy. So what we're saying over here is fasting never killed anyone. Go ahead and fast. If you need advice, you can reach out to me at the Qua Nutrition Clinics.
That was a fabulous episode. Thank you so much, Ryan. And we are waiting to see you in the next one, because the next one is going to unravel even more secrets about fasting. So if you enjoyed this, stay tuned. We're coming back to you with more.
You are listening to Nutrition Secrets by Ryan Fernando, only on Red Podcast.